He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Please be seated. So sometimes it doesn't really feel fair. Not fair at all. You would think that there would be a little bit of time, and I'm not talking about daylight savings time. I know that's not fair. We did in Sunday school check this morning. It's not in the Bible. That's not what we're talking about right here. But you would think that there'd be a little bit more time to relax and savor what had happened. There should have been at least some period of time to celebrate, to spend time with family and friends, to commemorate this monumental moment. Now, I'm talking about Jesus and the events of today's gospel. What we've just read follows immediately on the heels of the baptism of Jesus. John the baptizer was baptizing down in the River Jordan. Luke tells us that when Jesus was being baptized by John amongst all the other people, that Jesus was praying. And as he did so, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now God is confirming the fact that Luke had just provided a genealogy of Jesus' lineage to further legitimize that Jesus is indeed the Messiah foretold in Scripture. And what an incredible and wonderful event. What a moment to savor and cherish and celebrate. When people are baptized, as I'm sure you've seen at some point in your life, we often throw a big party or a reception after the celebration. Now, this particular one I missed by a day or two, so I wasn't there. But I reckon that the folks that Jesus was baptized alongside at least took some time to reflect on the incredible cleansing that they had just experienced. One would think that the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be at least as momentous as any of the baptisms that we have witnessed throughout our lives. Yet, there is no party. There's no celebration. There is no honeymoon period for Jesus and his friends here. Luke's very next words are, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil." Not a great party. This is the Son of God that we are talking about. Jesus has just made that very clear. And God has made that very clear. And immediately after his baptism, immediately after he receives this call from God, immediately after he is identified as God's beloved, immediately he is driven into the wilderness where he is tempted by the greatest tempter ever. Jesus gets no breaks, no cakes, and what an amazing thing. During this season of Lent, we are called to self-examination. During this time, temptation is an appropriate topic for our reflection. This event, this seminal and crucial event at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, suggests several ideas about being called and also about the nature of temptation. First, friends, temptation in and of itself is not sin. Temptation is a byproduct of our fallen human nature. The creation stories that we're studying on Tuesday mornings, and I'm telling y'all, we are having an absolute party discussing the creation stories in Bible study. It's a blast. It's not a big pun or a big bang pun. It's just really fun. You should come. The creation stories tell us about the temptation of Adam and Eve to eat the fruit that God had told Adam not to eat. Remember, Eve wasn't there. We learned that in Bible study, so come. Scripture also tells us that Jesus, who we believe was without sin, was tempted. The ability to be tempted is a part of the freedom of choice that God has given us as God's children. And we certainly pray, such as in the Lord's Prayer that we'll say in just a little while, that we will not be led into temptation. But the fact is that we can never really escape it. Second, temptation is bound up in the very fact of being called by God. Any call from God, a call to follow any path, carries with it the possibility that that call can be perverted. Because of our freedom, we always have a choice. We have the choice of answering God's call faithfully or using that call to feed our own desires. We can't escape having to make that choice. It is a risk that God takes when God calls us, and it is also a risk that we take on when we respond to God's call. Third, in the wilderness of temptation, we are not alone. Luke tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. Now, we remember that Jesus is both fully divine and fully human, and the Holy Spirit is there with him. We also know, it doesn't say in Luke's gospel that the Spirit ever actually left. So, we know that the Spirit doesn't leave us when we are in the wilderness of temptation and despair ourselves. In other gospel accounts, when Jesus resists the devil's last temptation, he is waited on by angels. We too have holy beings, holy people, holy places, holy things all around us, ready and waiting to care for us during the most difficult times in our lives. Because in the midst of temptation, love is there, because God is there too. God is with us in the midst of all of our temptations. God can lead us safely through that wilderness. If we choose to look, if we choose to call out for God, we will find God. If we ask, God will guide us to the path. There is at least one more very important point to remember, a point that is particularly important for people like me, unlike Jesus, who are not really all that able to resist the power of temptation, or at least it seems like that sometimes. Raise your hand if you have trouble resisting temptation sometimes. But friends, remember that sin is not the final word, and temptation is in and of itself not sin. Now, there's a fascinating fact about a very delicious crustacean called a lobster. I don't know if you know this, but when a lobster grows, its shell does not grow with it like the human skin does. Rather, a lobster must shed or molt its shell and grow a new one each time it outgrows its previous shell. So, a lobster will take time periodically throughout its life to swim down to a protected place amongst rocks or reefs or whatever, so that it can shed that which is constraining its growth. And there, in that safer place, it can grow a new shell to fit its new self. God, friends, the good news is that God can be that rock of refuge and salvation for us throughout our lives as well. We can rest in God. Lent can be the time that we shed those layers of ourselves that keep us from growing and allow God to make us new again. When we succumb to temptation and when we fall into sin through those actions or thoughts and patterns that take us away from a loving relationship with God, the good news is that God does not abandon us. God stands by, offering to forgive. God stands ready to give us a hand, to help us back onto our feet, to help us dust ourselves off, and to send us out into the world once again to love and serve God and our neighbor. So as we gather week after week around our Lord's altar and table, we recall the depth of God's love for us. We are fed the food of forgiveness. We are nourished by the body and blood of Christ. And we are sent back into the world, renewed and forgiven, to answer God's call as God's beloved children, sent to serve as God's agents of reconciliation, to spread the good news of the love of God that is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.